miscommunicate with each other. That's a pretty common thing. And sometimes advertising does that, especially when advertising goes from one country to another, one language to another. For example, when Kentucky Fried Chicken wanted to open the market in China, they used their slogan, "Finger Lickin' Good," but it was interpreted as "Eat Your Fingers Off." So that's kind of disturbing. But nonetheless, that's a good example of miscommunication. Lots of times miscommunication has nothing to do with language to language, but it is miscommunication because of lack of certain information. And so therefore, we don't make good decisions or a good response based upon incomplete information. And that's what we find here in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. And this is one of the most important passages regarding our salvation. And it's a Christmas passage, and it has to do with the coming of Jesus. And it is a passage of Scripture that leads us to believe that Joseph, initially, the adopted father of Jesus, was going to make a really, really bad decision based upon incomplete information that he had at the time. In the first part of the chapter, if you remember a few weeks ago, we looked at the genealogy of Jesus from Joseph's side. And Matthew's main point was that Jesus is human. Jesus is man. But then verses 18 through 25 show the other side of the coin. Shows that Jesus is not only 100% man, but he's also 100% divine. He is deity also, because Matthew reveals to us where Jesus came from. And in Matthew 1:18 and verse 19, it says this. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. And so the Jewish marriage process was quite different than our marriage process here in the Western world. For example, the Jews, their process involved an engagement period, and basically, you know, parents could put their kids together, prearrange marriages and so on, and it could be children that are engaged. But that engagement process is not like our engagement process, because if their engagement would happen, then when they marriageable age, they would go for a year called the betrothal period, and that's the period that Mary and Joseph were in. So they were engaged most likely as little children, but then they became a little bit as older teenagers, and most likely Joseph was a few years older than Mary. Mary was probably 15, 16, 17 years old at the time. And so they entered this one-year betrothal period. And then after that year is over, the girl had the right to for refusal, but they would become married at the end of that one-year period. So Mary and Joseph were in the one-year betrothal period. And so at this time, during this time, Mary was found to be with child. And so this was a scandalous thing. Now, of course, we don't have to do the marriage process just like the Jews did it. We have our own way to do it. The system was really descriptive. It wasn't prescriptive. It wasn't commanded to us. And so we don't have to become Jews in order to become Christians. But back to Mary and Joseph. Joseph had this dilemma. What was he going to do with a pregnant betrothed wife? What was he going to do? What were his responses? Well, he had three options. First of all, he could have publicly divorced Mary, but he loved Mary. And if he publicly divorced her at the city gates and said three times, "I divorce you, I divorce you, I divorce you," it's very likely that Mary would have been stoned to death, because that's what the Levitical law would call for. But he loved Mary, and so he didn't want to do that. But that probably would have been the best way to defend his reputation, because it was public. There would be no doubt where he stood. But then the second option is that they could have remained engaged, but that would have most likely broken Levitical law. And Joseph also possibly doubted Mary's faithfulness, most likely. It's not explicit in the text, but you can't help thinking that he was wondering about that, maybe Mary was unfaithful to him during this one-year period of betrothal. And so the third option was one that he initially chose, and that was to divorce her privately. And that would have vindicated him. It would have maintained his reputation, and it would have been the safest way for her to be disassociated from him without her suffering death by stoning. And so Joseph loved Mary, but Joseph had to obey the law, and also he had to think about his reputation, too. You can blame the guy. He was a young man with a life in front of him. Plus, his doubts about Mary's faithfulness were probably true. So Joseph had to make a big decision based on what? Based on incomplete information. Joseph was about to make the decision of a lifetime based upon incomplete information. And so we learn from that, and also just from our experiences, that getting only some information leads us to make poor choices. And so if you think about how history would have changed if Joseph followed through with this initial response of divorcing Mary privately, it would have changed history. It certainly would have changed our lives as well. And so snap decisions are not wise. Assumptions are not wise. Judging a book by its cover is not wise either. We have to ask ourselves, is there some more information that I need to know? But our God shows his character here, and he's sovereign. God is engaged. God intervenes. He interrupts our ignorance with information, information that we desperately need to know. God is gracious, and he provides the information that we desperately need to know. Look what happens in verse 20. It says, "But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, 'The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel,' which means God with us." And so an angel came to Joseph in a dream. That's kind of unusual for us, but in the ancient Near East, it was a much more common thing than it has taken place in the West. So God used this mode of communication to fully inform Joseph of the situation. He said, Joseph needs to know, because Joseph's about to make a really bad choice, and so I am intervening and I'm interrupting his ignorance. And so he communicated to him some important, pertinent facts. He says, don't be afraid to take Mary to your home. Don't be afraid to fully marry her. And the reason is because the baby that's in her was not conceived by another man, but rather was conceived by the Holy Spirit. So he said it was a virgin birth because it was a virgin conception. And so when Joseph heard that, it's like, wow, this is something pretty spectacular. This is something supernatural as he interacted with this angel within his dream. And then he said that his name will be Jesus, and that means Savior. And so he will one day grow up to be a man, minister, and die on a cross to save his people from their sins, individually, but also nationally as well, that Israel would be saved from being obliterated by the Roman Empire. That one day, as we know from Matthew's intention, that Jesus will usher in, ultimately, the kingdom of heaven on earth. So we will be saved as individuals when we place our faith in him, but also God will save Israel from insignificance. Israel will have a future purpose. And by the way, this information was conveyed long ago, because he quotes Isaiah 7:14. And so 700 years ago, this information was prophesied about a virgin who will give birth to a child. And then lastly, his name will be Emmanuel. So not only is he man, not only is he 100% human, but he's also 100% God. And so he is uniquely qualified. He's uniquely eligible to be the sacrifice for humanity because he's like us, but he's also infinite because he's God and he can die for the sins of the world. And anybody who responds to the death of Jesus, to the death and resurrection of Jesus, through simple faith and trust and belief and reliance, and we transfer our faith and our trust from something else to Christ, are ignited with spiritual life for the first time in their existence. God gives us life. He allows us to be born again. He forgives us. His righteousness, his holiness, and his purity is put into our account. Our lives are transformed from that point in time when we are justified, bringing on sanctification. And so this is his purpose. Joseph, this is why your betrothed wife is with child. And so do not fear. Do not be afraid. Take your wife home with you and publicly proclaim her as your wife. So he doesn't just suggest it, he actually commands her to do that. And so for our friend Joseph, God provided information. He intervened using supernatural means. And Joseph, as a result of that intervention, of that information, made a very, very good choice. And so God is gracious because he provides to us a full perspective so that way we can make good choices. That's exactly what he did with Joseph. He graciously provided the information that Joseph needed in a very succinct way through supernatural means so that way Joseph could make a good choice and respond. Joseph still could have rebelled. He could have still rejected Mary if he wanted to, but he chose to do the right thing and respond to that dream, to the information that that angel had given to him, and he took Mary. God gives us fuller answers in his word. You think, oh wow, I really wish God would do this today because I have a lot of questions. I have a lot of riddles floating through my mind. I have a lot of unanswered questions. And I really wish God would answer my questions. But then we look a few inches away and we see a closed Bible. We realize, wait, God has already spoken to us. He's already intervened. He's given us the information that we really need to have on so many subjects, whether it be our origins, whether it be our destinations, whether it be our purpose, our relationship, the use of time, the use of our wealth, the place of rest in life, or how to handle success. Any topic pretty much is covered in the Word of God. He's already answered many of our questions. We expect razzle-dazzle, hype and lights, angels and dreams. But God gives us his word to answer the riddles and questions of life. I heard it said a few days ago, if you want the word of God, read the Bible. If you want to hear the word of God audibly, read it out loud. And so God gives us the information that we need to have. If we're bewildered, confused, or perplexed, to any degree, ask the Bible and God will show you the answer so that way you can make a good choice. The children posed a question this morning, and in the final act, they all responded as individuals within the play, and they said, are you going to trust in Jesus? And that's a simple question. And make it the best Christmas season ever by responding by simple trust. There was a gentleman in the first service, first Sunday here at Bear Creek Bible Church, he said, I just can't believe I go to all these different churches and the gospel is usually like so confusing the way it's presented. He said, it was good to hear just the gospel in its purest form, that Jesus died for your sins. And the response that is expected, the desired response, is trust and reliance. And so in the quietness of your mind, communicate that trust, that faith to God, that you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior through simple faith and trust in what he has already done. Thank you, God, for communicating that to us in its simplest form. Thank you for intervening in our lives and telling us the information that we need to have more than any other information, so that way we can give a good response. Let's pray. Father, we put this before you, and we thank you for the children who, in a very creative way, communicated some very good information to us. Thank you for being a God of grace. Thank you for being a God of relationship. Thank you for being the one who not only provides the answer, but communicates the answer to us. We thank you for that angel who communicated to Joseph within a dream. So that way, he publicly professed Mary as his wife and adopted your son as his son. We thank you for Joseph and his step of faith and his rejection of fear and his acceptance of your will in his life. We ask this in your son's name. Amen.